Welcome to the Meet Me at the Mountain podcast. I'm your host, Wayne Rogers, and this is season two of Meet Me at the Mountain, and we are looking at mountains of emotions that we go through and face each day in our lives. Today's episode, we'll be discussing the topic of joy, and this should be a fun one. Before we get into our topic of the day, take the opportunity, if you will, to follow not only this podcast, but you can follow the master feed of the Scattered Abroad Network, and there you'll find all the podcasts from the network as they're loaded up daily with new content. And so please download them. Even give us a rating and a review if you'd love to do so. We'd appreciate that. If something has helped you or encouraged you in your studies or your walk with God, please let us know that. We would certainly be encouraged by that, and we're so very thankful that you've joined us today. Now let's rejoice together. In Philippians 4 and verse 4, the Apostle Paul wrote by inspiration, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say, rejoice." You know, God's people are urged to rejoice. And as this passage we know so well, but maybe on this trek up the mountain of life, we find that it's not really an easy one. It's not always an easy one, at least. And so I hope this lesson is something that will benefit you as it has me to think about these things again. This is a lesson that I need to be reminded of almost daily in my life. The saints at Philippi were told to rejoice. This church, you have to remember, was born in the midst of persecution. This is where Paul and Silas had been in prison for preaching the gospel, where Lydia and her household had obeyed the gospel. The possessed girl was healed, you remember, and that ultimately is what landed them in prison. And then the jailer and his household were baptized into Christ as well. This is in Acts chapter 16. The Apostle Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, "For you yourselves know, brethren, that our coming to you was not in vain, but even after we had suffered before and were spitefully treated in Philippi, as you know, we were bold in our God to speak to you the gospel of God in much conflict." And so Paul writes to the church at Thessalonica, but he mentions his work and the preaching that was done in Philippi and how they were spitefully mistreated there. And so we think about Paul for just a moment. And Paul had been in prison, and yet he speaks of his own joy throughout the letter to the church at Philippi. And so I want to take a moment and just think about the things, the reasons that Paul would give for his own rejoicing. In Philippians chapter 1, in fact, Paul says in verse 18, he says, "What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice." So the very fact that Christ was being preached, that encouraged Paul, that gave him reason to rejoice. And it was something that he was encouraged by and something that he wanted the church at Philippi to be encouraged by. Look, Christ is being preached. No matter what's going on in our world, in our little corner of the world, and those things, Christ is still being preached. This gives us reason to rejoice. If we keep on going through this letter, Paul says in chapter 2 and verse 2, he tells them, "Fulfill my joy, being like-minded, having the same love, and being of one accord and of one mind." And so Paul says that because there is unity, I want you to fulfill my joy, in fact. This is the reason that Paul had for rejoicing, the fact that there was unity. They were of one mind and of one spirit and of one accord and having even the same love. He says there's unity, and therefore continue to fulfill my joy. This brings me joy to know this to no end. So if you drop down then to chapter 2 of Philippians to verse 16, he says, "Holding fast the word of life so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I've not run in vain or labored in vain." And so Paul says, you know, if you'll hold fast to the word of life, then that gives me reason to rejoice. And so Paul thinking about what he's going through. Paul is in prison himself at this point in time, and yet he says, hearing this about you, knowing that there's unity, knowing that Christ is preached, whatever else is going on in life, if you'll hold fast the word of life, then I know that I've not run in vain or labored in vain, and that brings me joy, he says. And then we drop down to the next verse, and this is really down through verse 25. Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I am glad and I rejoice with you all. He says, for the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I may be encouraged when I know your state. He says, I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus. But you know his proven character, that as a son with his father, he has served me in the gospel. And therefore, I hope to send him to you at once, as soon as I know how it goes with me. But I trust in the Lord that I myself may come to you shortly. And yet I considered it necessary also to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, my fellow worker, fellow soldier, your messenger, the one who's ministered to my needs, since he was longing for you all. And so this was their preacher, in fact, Epaphroditus was, and he's sending Epaphroditus back to them. But he says, I'm going to send Timothy to you also. He's going to work alongside of you and alongside of Epaphroditus. And in that, he says, I know then that you are working and that you are doing this work and that you are faithful. When I'm able to know fully about your state, he says, I'll have even more reason to rejoice at that point in time. If you turn over to Philippians chapter 4, and this is where we started in verse 4, obviously, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But in verse 10, notice this. He says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, you just lacked opportunity. Paul says, I rejoice because you care for me. And that's something that certainly we can all get behind, knowing that there are those who truly care for you, care for me. And so no matter, again, what else may be going on around us, we know that there are those who love us and care for us and want the very best for us and are doing those things to help us have what we need in life and have the very best things and have the very best care given to us. Because people are caring for our souls. People are caring for what's going on in our life, and we know that. And so that gives us reason to rejoice, as Paul says here. And then verse 19, which is probably one of my favorite verses, Paul says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He says, my God shall supply all your needs. And I think that's something that, because Paul had that confidence in his God, that trust in God, he says, my God will supply all of your need by his riches in glory. And I think that's just amazing. But if we go back to this, and I'm not sure where I'm sure that I stole this from someone. I'd love to give somebody the credit, but I just don't remember where it came from. In this passage, this supply that God provides, my God shall supply all of your need, it comes through several things here, three things that are listed here. Verse 6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And so, my God shall supply all your needs. That comes through prayer, verse 6. It comes through what someone has noted as pondering. Finally, my brethren, this is verse 8, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, ponder on these things, think on these things, focus on these things. And then in verse 9, practice it. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. My God shall supply all your needs. How? through prayer, through pondering, and through practice. Verse 6, verse 8, and verse 9. And again, I'm not sure who I stole that from, but, you know, we'll give somebody the credit out there. Certainly, when I think of what God has provided for all of us, we should ponder on those things. We should be thinking about those things. And in that, we're certainly going to find reason to rejoice throughout. The location and the source for their rejoicing, if you go back to chapter 4 and verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice, there's the source, there's the place, there's where the location is, in the Lord. And we find that phrase in a couple of passages. In Colossians, in fact, we find in Colossians, this is verses 1 through 14, Colossians 1, 12 through 14, I'm sorry. And those who were qualified for heaven, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of saints in the light. And so the idea of those who are in the Lord, those who are qualified for heaven, those who have been also delivered from Satan's power. In verse 13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness, and he's conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. And then in verse 14, those who have been redeemed from sin, those who have been forgiven of all their sins in Christ Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1 and verse 14. In the Ephesian letter, we find that those who are in Christ are the blessed ones, right? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Not only that, we have been, in verse 4 of Ephesians 1, chosen in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And then later in that same chapter, in Ephesians 1 and verse 11, we have an inheritance waiting in heaven. In him also we have obtained an inheritance. You see, in spite of all the problems, all of the trials, and all of the persecutions, all the difficulties that we go through in this life, those who are in the Lord have every reason to rejoice, and so do we. Let's not forget as well, one of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, is joy. C.S. Lewis wrote this, "Joy is distinct, not only from pleasure in general, but even from ascetic pleasure. It must have the same, it must have the stab, the pain, and the inconsolable longing," Lewis says. You see, he had picked up on a truth that we might often forget when it comes to joy. It's not just something that is going to just spring up in our lives and just knock on the door and just be right there one day. Rather, it's something that we're longing for, something that's sought after, something that's often coming from a deep longing and seeking. And then when we find it, we know it, we see it. It doesn't miss our sight. It's not something that's easily overlooked, because something that might have the potential to bring us joy might be missed entirely because we sit and assume that it's going to just fall into our laps. And then we'll go, oh, wow, well, there it is. But rather, it's usually something that comes about through the pains of life. It's a deep pain, something we're going through. It's a desire that we have, a longing toward something that is better. And it tells me then that it might not always be about walking around with a smile on my face, but rather it's a deep place of inner peace that comes about in the midst of trials and difficulties because I know who my Lord is, and I have been found in him. And therefore, I can truly rejoice. Can you? Do you know that you are in Christ because you have done those things found in Scripture that tell us how we may have the assurance of such? 1 John 5, verse 13, by those things that are written. having believed in Jesus, having repented of sin, having confessed Him before men, having been washed in baptism, meeting the very blood of Jesus, and having our sins washed away, Acts 22 and verse 16. And then continuing daily, faithful to the Lord, then we have so many reasons to rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Thank you for meeting me at the mountain. And may God bless you in your daily trek with Him over the mountain of life. And may we ever continue to encourage one another in the Lord.